Thank you for being here this morning. I want to just give you a good morning and a good shout out to all of our veterans this morning. We thank you guys so much for your service. And I have two brothers who also served. I was the baby in the family, so I did not serve. That was an excuse, but I just, the sight of guns, just, ooh, oh my goodness. I'll let my brothers do that. You can protect me like they always do. Amen. So thank you for your service, and I just appreciate the words that Carl shared that, I won't go too deeply into this, but, you know, this oftentimes I hear a lot of the negative when it comes to you watch a few too many news articles and too many newscasts that cast our soldiers in a very disparaging light. And it's like, you know what, come on, give me a break. These people put everything on the line. God bless them. Can we give them a hand one more time? You know? Yeah. And so they give up so much, and so do their families. So we just honor them today, and we give God the glory for each and every, for the freedom that we get to enjoy as a nation. So didn't want to go too deep into that. I just want to say good morning, and thank you for joining us. If you need an outline to follow along with us today, you can raise your hand. Our ushers will be happy to assist you with that. Please remember, you can also download the CLC app that Carl just mentioned, and follow along under the sermon notes tab, and that's in English as well as in Spanish. And I have a note to talk about something here concerning all that. As my wife mentioned earlier when she was up here, the close of this year is giving us a very unique opportunity, and we've kind of spotted it out this year better than we have in years past. And it's giving, you know, things in at the close of the year, things begin to wind down a little bit. You know, the weather changes, and not necessarily for the better. So we don't plan a whole lot of events and things, at least not too many, during this time. But it's giving us a window to really structure some things administratively for the coming year. And we want to do that effectively. Here's one way that you can help. And I know we mentioned this whole app thing and our online at clcsb.org. We mentioned that a lot, but I don't know how, if that just kind of goes over your head. That's just another thing to get out of the way for you. But as it pertains to us doing a better job administratively, it really would help if you downloaded that app. And here's the reason why, especially concerning things like connection cards and prayer requests. There is a tab under there. If you go onto the app, it's just a really beautiful logo of ours, and it stays up there for about 5 seconds or so. And then it'll give you a menu of items to choose from. And one of the items there that says connect, if you hit the connect button, you'll see an item that says connect card as well as prayer request. So if you go into that and just fill all of that out, the reason why that's so important is because we get those things instantly. Okay, it literally takes less than a minute for us to get that. And when I say us, I do mean me. That comes to Doug at clcsb.org, as well as my wife, Shauna, and a few of our team members. So that's not just out in the air somewhere. I don't want you to fear that. It's like, oh, what if they don't respond? No, that comes directly. We see it. We actually see it. We pray over it, and we disperse it to the appropriate people. And if you put a note in there that I need to be contacted right away or whenever, we will contact you. And even if it's just serious enough and you didn't even ask for a contact, we will still contact you to make sure that everything's okay. And, of course, with all of that, you have a calendar there, lets you know what's coming up. And, of course, you have all the wonderful sermons that we've that we've got to preach here. And you can either re-listen to that or just maybe catch up on something that you may have missed. And so just wanted to drop that on you because we say it a lot, but it's like, I don't know if everybody's really getting it. That we really, and the wonderful thing about all of this is my wife and I, we oftentimes go on vacation. We're out of the office. Sometimes we're not here on Sunday with somebody else that's preaching. Not that you have to depend on us, but when we're away, that you can still, we always check our, we can't help it. We check our email. We just do. And so if you send something by way of that app or even online, we will get it and we will respond to it. And so just wanted to let you know that we take that very seriously. There's a reason why all of that is available. Not that we won't read the paper cards. Those are perfectly fine. But you don't have to wait till Sunday to come fill that out. You can fill that out on a Tuesday. We get your breakthrough by Friday. By the time you get here Sunday, you're ready to celebrate. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't hear me in here. All right. So speaking of wonderful sermons, today really good message, I think, here. I always think they're good because I wouldn't preach it if I didn't think it was good. So, we're going to go ahead and dive into today's message. And we're still in our Covenant Elevation series. And presently we're using the life of the prophet Elijah. And we've been talking a lot about breakthrough the last couple of weeks. How many of you believe breakthrough is coming? I believe breakthrough is just about here. Amen. I really, really do. And so we're going to pick back up in 1 Kings chapter 18. And last week we started with the first, pretty much the first two-thirds of that chapter. And we saw that there was a drought that had hit the land because of the word spoken by Elijah. And he spoke that against King Ahab and all of Israel because of how poorly they were leading the nation. They were leading the nation into places of idolatry and away from the Lord. And but we believe that in the Bible says in that chapter 18 that they were in the third year. That was the end of the drought. How many of you believe the drought is getting ready to end? Yes. And so we believe that the drought is getting ready to end over this region. And I don't know how many other places it's getting ready to end, but we believe it's getting ready to end over Michiana. Amen. And so we talked last week about positioning ourselves to receive the breakthrough that God is pouring out. And how we support, we need to choose a side. We need to just choose. We don't need to be halted between two opinions. We need to choose. God, I'm serving you and you only. And that's just the bottom line. We talked about being filled with the fire and the Spirit of God to not just invigorate us, but also to purge away anything that's not like God. And then, of course, to get rid of the lying voices, the lying thought patterns, and the untruths that the enemy has planted in us. And so all of that is good. And so today we're going to take a look not just at what we do in terms of when breakthrough is on its way. We want to talk today a little bit about what we do when breakthrough comes. Anybody ready for breakthrough to actually be here, not just be on the way? So let's go back to 1 Kings 18. We're going to pick back up. We ended at verse 40 last week. We're going to pick back up at verse 41. And I want to read you a few scriptures from that and then just talk it through and give you a few points. And we're going to be out of here shouting and ready to enjoy the breakthrough. Amen. It says in verse 41, then Elijah, I feel like I'm supposed to pray. Let me pray this before I start into this reading. Father, thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you for what that means. Thank you for what that looks like. Thank you for how that expresses itself in the earth and in and through our lives. We receive that breakthrough. We do everything we know how to position ourselves to receive that breakthrough, Lord. And we receive it, and we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 41, it says, then Elijah says to Ahab, go get something to eat and to drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. And so the prophets of Baal has just been slaughtered after the challenge at Mount Carmel. And now the rainstorm is coming. And in verse 42, it says, so that Ahab went ahead to eat and to drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground. And then he prayed with his face between his knees. And then he said to his servant, go and look out towards the sea. And the servant went and looked and then returned to Elijah and said, I don't see anything. And seven times Elijah told him to go and look. And then finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, hey, I see a little cloud. I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Let me talk about this scripture just a little bit, because oftentimes God's speaking through me revelatorily. And so in this, let me just share what I'm seeing here. Let me first talk about the fact that breakthrough, as it comes, it can come very subtly. It also can come very expressively. So when we talk about breakthrough coming, and you go through this week, and maybe the breakthrough hits, and you don't really see, you know, explosions all over the place, and you come back Sunday, and say, hey, Pastor Doug, I ain't feel nothing. That breakthrough wasn't, oh, you talking about breakthrough, I didn't hear anything, I didn't see anything. And breakthrough may not happen in that regard. It may not happen that way. Breakthrough may happen in very subtle ways where it just happens. And you look around and things that you've been wanting done are all of a sudden just done. You're walking around, it's like the pain that you used to limp around with, all of a sudden you just kind of walking straight and, whoa, I don't feel anything anymore. You know, it's like it could just happen all of a sudden, or it can come very expressively. You know, like the day of Pentecost, where it was a rushing, mighty wind and cloven tongues of fire and people speaking in tongues. It could come very expressively, but it may just come and go, and you're just left with what's broken through. So however it looks, however it feels, here's what I want you to understand, and this is the part of this that I want you to get, is that there's a little cloud. Everybody say little cloud. Little cloud represents Holy Spirit. It represents God. Little cloud rising. It's rising. Somebody say elevation. Elevation. So if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. There's a little cloud rising. And it looks like, when I look at it, it looks like what I see when I look at man's hand. Here's the revelation in all that. The little cloud of Holy Spirit is rising to do what man's hand cannot. There's a little cloud, a little bit of Holy Spirit that is positioning itself and now elevating, becoming more and more clear, becoming more and more pronounced, becoming more and more not just elevated, but more and more visible. There's a cloud rising, and it looks like it's doing what man's hand has been trying so hard to do, but could not. So in Moses' day, they saw a pillar of fire by night that led them, and a cloud that covered them by day. In Isaiah's day, he said, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And there were angels that cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And suddenly the temple was filled with smoke, or a cloud of smoke. It was filled with the presence of God. There's a presence of God that is getting ready to be elevated. And it is getting ready to do, it looks like it's doing what man's hand has been trying so hard to do and to accomplish, but cannot. So God's getting ready to do in your life things that you've been trying to make happen. You've been trying to fast it through. You've been trying to pray it in. You've been trying to tongues it in. And nothing wrong with tongues, nothing wrong with fasting. I'm not trying to, you know, y'all know me. I'm not trying to knock those things. What I'm saying is, what's getting ready to happen is just getting ready to happen. What's getting ready to break through in your life is just getting ready to break through. And it's like, God, I just receive it. I thank you for it. I just receive it. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know which thing is getting ready to be broken through. But something I'm going to see, I'm going to look, and something's going to be done that I know man could not have done. I'm going to look up and just recognize, God's been at work over here, because there's a little cloud of spirit that is being elevated and more clearly seen, more evident, and it is doing what man's hand cannot. It's doing what man's hand cannot. So here's your first point for today. God's hand does. When breakthrough comes, God's hand does what man's hand cannot. In Acts chapter 2, when Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came in, as I mentioned before, as a mighty rushing wind, they weren't just speaking in tongues, and it wasn't just gibberish. When the people around them heard all the commotion, the literally hundreds and probably thousands of people came, and when they heard all the commotion, they asked, "What in the world is going on? We hear all these people who very clearly are not from where we're from, but we hear them speaking our language. And they're not just saying any old thing. They are declaring the wonderful works of God." Something about that means that as much as religious as we are and as devoted as we are to God and his law, God is clearly doing something new here. He is clearly doing something new here that we could never have done ourselves. No matter how many of these Ten Commandments that we have here, because these were all Jewish people, but they were from various places that had come to the temple, and when they came to the temple, they worshiped together, but they were all speaking different languages, but somehow the Spirit of God gave them the utterance to declare in other people's languages, languages that these people did not know. This 120 group of believers, they did not know all these other languages, but by the power of the Spirit, they began to declare the works of the Lord. That's something man's hand could not do. And if you can remember back to what we preached a long time ago, back in Genesis 11, when they tried to build the Tower of Babel, a way to heaven, but without God, God confounded their languages. God confounded their language. But here, after the day of Pentecost, now God is doing what no one could do and bringing all these languages together to speak once again with one voice the great works of God. And for as much as we may have wanted unity, for as much as we may have worked and strived and scrounged and scraped for unity in our nation, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in a way that only God can do it. I've told you before, agreement is a work of the human minds, but unity is a work of the Spirit. I don't have time to go into all that. Just understand, we can agree to do something, but when our hearts become joined together, somewhere in there, God has been at work. So God's hand is getting ready to do what man's hand cannot. In John chapter 6, Jesus leads his disciples and a multitude into a wilderness where there's no food, and there's 5,000 men on top of however many women and children there are at the time, and Jesus almost jokingly says to Philip, "Man, what are we going to do with all these people? How are we going to feed all these people?" And I can say it that way because the Bible is very clear that Jesus asked him this already knowing what he was getting ready to do. And because we've read the story, we already know what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to multiply some food, a small portion of food, and feed all of these 5,000 men plus women and children. God's hand was getting ready to do what man's hand never could have. And here's one of the keys to that. If you read that story through, you see the interaction between Jesus and Philip. And when he asks Philip the question, "What are we going to do with all these people?" Philip says, "You know, if we worked all year and saved every dime of money we made, we would still not have enough to provide for all of these people. Well, I don't know. What are we going to do, Jesus? And Andrew comes over. Well, we got this little boy here. He's got 5 loaves of bread. And he's got 2 fish. But what is that among all of these people? And here's what the key is. And I talked to you, I shared a little bit about this last week. But there are times when we have to just admit our deficiency. And we have to admit our inadequacy. And if you read the scripture, I think I may have it listed in here, from 2 Corinthians. Yeah, let's get 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 up there. Paul is in a situation where he's got this thorn in his flesh. The Bible says he's prayed 3 times to the Lord that he would take it away. Here's what Jesus says in response to that. He says, "My grace is all you need." Or as we're commonly accustomed to saying it, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness." And so Paul says, I'm glad to boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. There's an admission of my deficiency. That God, I can't do this. I'm not going to make this happen. I don't care how many days I fast. I'm not going to make this happen. I don't care how many hours I pray, how many verses I memorize. I'm not going to make breakthrough happen. All I can do right now, Lord, is position myself and believe and say, thank you for the breakthrough that's to come. And I receive it. I receive it, Lord. But I've got to admit where I am deficient. And if you remember last week, I mentioned that the devil wants to use your weakness against you. The thorn in your flesh is a thorn that is, it's a message of insufficiency into your mind. And the enemy wants to use that message in your mind to say, you're nothing, give up. You don't have to stop living, but you can stop. You can just chill out with all this God stuff. You might as well just go do your thing. Go out, have a good time. Because this church stuff, that's not going to get it for you. And that same thorn God will use to say, listen, if you would just bring that insufficiency, that deficiency, that inadequacy to me. If you can just bring that weakness to me, trust me with it. I will take it just like I took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. I will bless it and I will multiply so that not only do you have enough, but everybody around you have enough. And not only that, but there's going to be plenty left over. God's hand is about to do what man's hand cannot. And you're going to look up and wonder, how in the world did that happen? And all you're going to be able to remember is, oh, God's hand has done what man's hand could not do. Somebody believe that today. Somebody really receive that this morning. Amen. First King, let's go back to First Kings. Let's go to verses 44 and 46, or through 46. It says, "Then Elijah shouted, 'Hurry to Ahab and tell him,'" he's talking to his servant here, "'hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you.'" We talked about that maybe a couple months ago. Now I'll get to it in just a minute. "And soon the sky turned black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. And then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah, and he tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel." Amen. So point number 2 is here. And let me just read verse 44 again for you. "Elijah shouts to his servant, 'Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you.'" So the rain is the breakthrough. So let me just read the point here. don't let breakthrough break you. Okay, that's just a little cutesy way to say, listen, make sure that you get in position. Make sure that you're in right place. Make sure you've chosen that right side and allowed the Holy Spirit to consume you with Spirit of God and with fire. Cancel out the lying voices. Get yourself in a position so that when breakthrough happens, you know that it's God and you can simply receive it and give him thanks for it. Enjoy it. Give him thanks for it. Revel in it. Give him praise. Give him thanks and honor him with it all. And just know that it's coming. Get in position. Because if you're out of position, you could probably miss something. So that's the second portion of that. Don't miss it. Okay? Don't miss it. Now, let me just shoot right into point number three. Because it's very important for you to see this as well. If you miss the breakthrough, it's not necessarily too late. Now, I'm not trying to give you license to miss it. But what I'm saying is, if you're not quite getting all of this, I'm like, well, I don't understand, so forth and so on. Or you just figure, oh, man, that's just a bunch of whatever. This is a bunch of garbage. This is just, you just filling time, man, because you got to preach here till 11 something. If you miss the breakthrough, it's not necessarily too late. Let me explain to you what I mean. This is a good example as we go back to Acts chapter 2. Because here's what I mean by it. In Acts chapter 2, of course, this is the advent of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost. And people have been filled with the Spirit. The 120 believers that have followed Christ and have met as Jesus followed his instructions. They were in position. They received the Holy Spirit. Fire of cloven tongues of fire rested upon them. They began to speak in other tongues. And then all of a sudden there was this great commotion. And people who were there at that time, thousands of people, they rushed over. What in the world is going on? Now, some of them said, I hear people speaking in my language. And they're declaring the glorious works of God. There were others who accused them of being drunk, though. So everybody wasn't exactly on board with this whole Pentecost thing, with this whole Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and what sounds like gibberish to them. And Peter, who has now been converted, you remember Luke 22:31-32? Jesus says to Peter, Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And in this moment in Acts chapter 2, all of a sudden we see a whole different Peter. Why? Because the Spirit of God has now filled him and he's been changed. He has been converted. And in his place of conversion, through all of this and all of this wonderment that some are expressing, and then all of this accusation that others are sharing in, Peter, in his converted place, by the power of the Holy Spirit, stands up and begins to speak a message to them. And he begins to almost speak a sermon to them about what's happening. This is the day that Joel spoke of, where the Spirit of the Lord would be poured out upon all flesh. And your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And your maidservants and your manservants, they're going to prophesy. And here's what he says in verse 22. He says, people of Israel, listen to this. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing all kinds of powerful miracles and wonders and signs through him. It was a breakthrough moment in time and history when Jesus came. It was a breakthrough moment where God was getting ready to relate to man in a completely different way than he had before. In verse 23, it says this. Peter says, with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and you killed him. Breakthrough came and you nailed it to a cross. You missed it. But I've got good news for you. It's not too late. It's not too late. You missed it. You didn't understand. You were so accustomed to relating to God through the law that when Jesus came, you thought he was crazy. And to get rid of him, you sided with lawless Gentiles, and you even concocted a scheme with Caesar and Pilate to have him nailed to a cross so that you could get rid of him. But what you didn't understand is that you nailing him to the cross was actually part of his plan for establishing his kingdom in the earth. You didn't even realize that. And I know because the Bible said, had they known. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And he says, you missed it. You missed it. You missed the breakthrough when it came. Verse 37, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? In verse 38, it says this, Peter replies, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You missed it the first time, but I'm telling you it's not too late. Repent for what you've done and now receive the one who's come as a form of breakthrough for you. Receive the one who's come to save you now. It's not too late. You may have missed it the first time, but you got another chance to get it again. God is good. His mercy endures forever. Verse 41, and those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. How good is God? How good is God? Can I just tell you, it's not too late for that coworker of yours. It's not too late for that wayward child. I'm talking about that adult child that's got every right to make their own decisions and look like they've taken every opportunity to do so. It's not too late. God's getting ready to pour something out. And I believe that it because it's not too late, that as God begins to pour out in this day, it's some of those co-workers, relatives, friends, family, neighbors, we're going to look up and it's like, what in the world happened to you? Who are you trying? What you mean? Do I want to go to church? I was supposed to come ask you if you wanted to go to church. You need what? Prayer? I thought you didn't even believe in God. Some breakthrough's about to happen. And we're just going to look up and it's just going to be done. It's going to be, God's not going to ask our permission. He's not going to ask us to sign a waiver. It's just going to be done. We're going to look up and stuff is just going to be healed. People are going to just be set free. It's like, wow, blessings are just going to appear. All kinds of things. I believe I'm supposed to say this. Promotions are just going to be handed to you somehow. Promotions you didn't even apply for. Raises you didn't even ask for. God is just, it's time to get this into your hand. I just believe it. I just believe it. Let me go ahead and finish this from 1 Kings. We're going to turn the page to 19 now. So breakthrough has come. I said breakthrough has come. Huh? Yeah, breakthrough has come. I believe that too. I believe breakthrough has come. But with breakthrough coming, as I mentioned before, it doesn't mean the end of your problems. And it certainly does not mean the end of the enemy trying to attack you, as we will see here in chapter 19. Breakthrough has come. Now listen to what it says in verse 1, chapter 19, 1 Kings. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the way that he killed all the prophets of Baal. And so Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, and here's what it said. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you have killed them. Okay? And so Elijah knew this woman meant business. I don't know what it was about Ahab that Elijah just, I mean, he would just jab with Ahab all day long. But he knew that there was something different in the demeanor and the execution, no pun intended there, but the execution of Jezebel. So when Elijah got this message, here's what happens in verse 3. Elijah was afraid, and then he fled for his life, and he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. And then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, and he sat under a solitary broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. It was that serious to him. I just take me, Lord. This woman has issued a threat, and I know she will not relent until it comes to pass. Why don't you just take me now? I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. And then he laid down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. And he looked around, and beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him. Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. And so he got up, he ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And there he came to a cave where he spent the night. Let me give you point number 4. Don't run from the enemy's retaliation. Don't run. Stand in victory. Don't run from the enemy's retaliation. Stand in victory. You can write that stand in victory right under there. Stand in victory. Let me read Revelations 2. This is what Jesus, the risen Savior, says to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos as he's writing and dictating the letters to the seven churches. He's speaking to the church of Thyatira here. And he says, I know all the things that you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting, and we're familiar with the word tolerating there. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sins and to eat foods offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she did not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. So, at this point of all of this, there's a place where we ourselves have to repent for being entangled with the Jezebel spirit, where we have tolerated the Jezebel spirit, whether it's in our churches, in our households, or just in our personal lives. And that's probably the best place to start, is just our personal lives. There's a place where we need to make sure that we're not tolerating this spirit. And for all that we've heard about the Jezebel spirit, We just got to stop being scared. I couldn't think of no real fancy way to say that. We have to stop being afraid to address this spirit because of all the things we know about it. Now, let me give you just a list of some manifestations of the Jezebel spirit. We won't go too deep into this. This is just here and so that you can see it. Some of the manifestations of the Jezebel spirit: sexual immorality. Okay, I don't need to go through a whole lot of that, but you understand what that is. It's sex outside of the marriage bed. Okay, if you're not yet married, then we need to disengage from that. Okay, or else you could be entangled with a Jezebel spirit. I'm not saying these are absolutes, but they are significant signs that we may be struggling with some Jezebel issues. Okay, also idolatry, things that you know, false religions and that kind of thing. Idolatry is another manifestation of the Jezebel spirit. Manipulation and deceit. When we are constantly kind of making things, you know, manipulating things so that they happen our way, so that we gain an advantage, and we are deceitful in doing those things, that can be a way that the Jezebel spirit manifests. Also, a spirit of control. You'll also see in there jealousy as well as insecurity. Witchcraft is also another way that this spirit tends to manifest. Witchcraft isn't necessarily you decreeing spells and you know, cackling over a vat of some witch's brew. It's not necessarily that. Sometimes witchcraft is just as simple as you pronouncing a curse over someone. And I'm not talking about from some Harry Potter book. Just something evil out of your heart that you pronounce over someone can be a form of witchcraft. Let me give you a good example. And Francis Frangipane talks about you probably know Francis Frangipane. He's a minister, and he does a lot of awesome revelation. You talk about revelation. This man is wow, and he really comes with some serious revelation. But he did a series about the Jezebel spirit, and in one of those, he talked about the manifestation of witchcraft. And what he said was, there were people in his congregation that were following him, but they wanted him to be a certain way. You know, they wanted him to preach a certain way, to have a certain style, that he just kind of lays things. He's kind of like me, just lays things out there. He don't really get all excited that much. But in doing this, they kind of began to talk one with another. And what they didn't realize is that in their talk against him, they were actually participating in a form of witchcraft. Because they were determining to be a part of his congregation, but they were also determining to be out of agreement with what he was doing and how God was leading him. And so that can be a form of witchcraft, and the enemy can come in and attach itself to that, and it can spawn into a whole lot of other things. It doesn't necessarily have to be very flamboyant and flagrant. It can be very subtle. And it can come in through a lot of different areas. Jealousy and insecurity is another. The spirit of fear. Intimidation. Where people, one of the things that Robert Morris, some of you know Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church, one of the things that he was saying is like, listen, if there are people in your life space where you either fear confronting them because of how they will reject you or because of the over-the-top reaction that you know that you're going to get from them, there might be a Jezebel spirit working in the midst of that. It might be. Also, pride and arrogance and haughtiness, definitely a religious spirit, and even depression and discouragement, which you see here with Elijah. He's run off. Now he just wants to die. And that's what the Jezebel spirit tries to do, especially to leaders and pastors, people within fivefold ministry, people who lead ministry groups. The Jezebel spirit comes down on them to discourage them, to oppress them, and to cause them to be exhausted in ways that just go beyond natural means. That's why he slept under the broom tree, got woken up by an angel, ate food, and then just went back to sleep again. He was exhausted because he's wrestling with the Jezebel spirit. But this is not a spirit that you need to be afraid of. You just need to stop tolerating it. If you find it in your life space, say, man, wait a minute, that's a Jezebel spirit. Let's get that out of here. Get that out of here. It's a Jezebel spirit. I've seen that working in my own life, the Jezebel spirit, where it's just all, and probably every single one of these manifestations I've seen in some way and form in my life. And when I recognized it was a Jezebel spirit, and I recognized the key to it was stop tolerating it, I had to confront it, tell it to leave, and all of a sudden things started to change. The fog in my life started to lift. Because I had to stop tolerating this spirit. I had to stop being afraid of its intimidation, because that's what it comes to us as. It tries to intimidate us. Let the gods do unto me. Well, let them. But the God that I serve, I'm going to stand in his strength, not in my own. I'm going to stand in his strength, and I'm going to confront you. And wherever you're working in my life, in my church, in my household, you've got to go now. I don't need to slap oil all over everything. It's a good thing if I do, but you got to go. Matthew 16:19. Jesus tell Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. Stop letting the Jezebel spirit have its way. She calls herself a prophet. I have not called her a prophet. Tell her to be silent wherever she's speaking in your life. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Look, I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy. And you can walk on snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. As I was praying this week, right here in this very sanctuary, I know the story of Elijah, and so I knew where this thing was going. I'm like, okay. Breakthrough's coming, the rain is coming, but I know he's got to deal with this Jezebel woman. And I sensed, okay, there's breakthroughs here, and now there's a battle coming. Now there's warfare getting ready to happen. And I that thought came to my head. It's like, okay, God, there's warfare coming. And I just kind of stopped there, and I just paced the floor a little bit. And I felt the Lord bring something to my mind. And I felt the Lord say, why is it that you stop there? Why is it that you stop there? If you see the warfare coming, why don't you see the victory that's coming with that? Don't you know I've already given you the victory? Thanks be, haven't you ever quoted that? Thanks be unto God who has given, not getting ready to, maybe unconditionally if I do something right. No, thanks be unto God who has given us the victory. And I said, oh. And while I was saying, oh, it's like the Lord touched me again and said, listen, let me give you a new song here. You've been singing, don't wait till the battle is over, shout now. You need to change that. You don't have to wait till the battle begins. You can shout now. You don't even have to wait for the challenges to come. Shout now, because your shout now might be an important weapon into your victory. Your rejoicing now might just be the key to you winning that victory as the battle has come, as you so clearly saw. But for some reason, you didn't see ahead enough to see the victory. See the victory. I said, see the victory. Don't just see the fight coming. See yourself victorious. Don't just keep yourself from running from the Jezebel spirit. Understand that you are standing in victory. And you can proclaim that victory. Amen. 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 Nothing by any means shall harm you. I've given you power over all the powers of the enemy. No weapon formed against you will prosper. All those lying tongues that sprout up against you, you will condemn them. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for things that we didn't even foresee happening. We didn't ask for. We didn't apply for. Things that we never could have even expected. Matter of fact, we expected it not to change. We thought it would never happen. And with breakthrough coming, we're going to look up and see it done. Without a whole lot of effort. Because in a time of breakthrough, God's hand is going to do what man's hand could never have accomplished. You're just going to do it. Healing is going to take place. Deliverance and breakthrough is going to take place. Financial miracles, they're going to take place. People are going to get saved who don't even believe that there is a God. People who thought they nailed the Lord of glory to the cross and got rid of him are going to come back and say, what must I do to be saved? I believe that. I believe that. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is so because you are so good, Lord. It is so because you are so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may play something up there. Y'all stand to your feet. Since I've just been filling time till noon, I'm excited for y'all. I am. I'm excited for you all. I'm excited to see what God's getting ready to do. I know he's going to move in my life. I believe it. I thank you for it, God. But I'm much more excited for what he's getting ready to do for you. I don't know what that's getting ready to look like. I don't know how that's going to manifest. But I'm excited about it. That's all I can say. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. If you need prayer, our prayer team is here. If you need to give your life to the Lord this morning, if you could just come down and pray with one of our prayer team members. They're going to pray with you and lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ that's going to be yours now and to see him face to face. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have that fire of the Holy Spirit inside of you, burning, consuming, all-consuming fire inside of you. We want to pray for that. We want that breakthrough to come. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you had a family member. Maybe you need a financial miracle. Maybe someone in your life space just needs salvation. Maybe you just want to just do more for the Lord. You're just ready to yield yourself to him. Whatever the case may be, we're here to pray for you. Amen. I just need to stand here for a minute because there's an expression of my excitement that I just can't really demonstrated. I just can't. My flesh doesn't even know how to do it. The words don't come to me. The scream, I can't yell loud enough to really express it. But I'm just extremely excited, and I hope you are. And I hope my human limitations of how to express it doesn't hinder you. But for all that God is getting ready to do in your life, I give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for what you're getting ready to do for this people of Christian Life Center South Bend, for this people of Michiana. What you're getting ready to do for the body of Christ, what you're getting ready to do to bring lost souls into your kingdom. God, I just give you thanks for it. That's all I know how to do, is just give you thanks for it, Lord. Give you thanks for it, Lord. We rejoice in you today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in you. Thank you, Lord God, you've put all things under our feet. You've put all things under our feet, Lord. We tread on serpents and scorpions, Lord, and nothing by any means shall harm us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for protection, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and we are safe. We are made inaccessibly high. The enemy can't touch this. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you go before us, that you're our rear guard, that you sing over us with songs of deliverance, Lord. Thank you that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them who fear you. Thank you that no evil shall befall us. No plague shall come near our dwelling. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us, because you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You prepare a table for me, even in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. Wherever my enemies are present, I know there's a table spread for me. Come on, somebody. Yes. 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 Yes, you anoint my head with oil. Oh, yes, my cup runs over. Yes, Lord God. Surely of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, we invite you to come. If you need salvation, we invite you to come. If you need the Spirit of God to move upon your life, we invite you to come. Let's lift our hands right now. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you that it's here, and we revel in it, Lord. We rejoice in it today. And as we rejoice, we simply say thank you, Lord. We simply say thank you. It's beyond what our hands could have ever done. So we simply say thank you. We humbly bow before you. We worship you, give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise, because it's due unto your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys today. If you need prayer, you can come on. Hug a few people before you go, and we will see you next time. Have a great week.